on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all, listeners. This is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introducing the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton, and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
It's Sunday, it's 8 p.m. and it's On The Ropes and it's live. Charlie, wet weekend out there. How are you, my friend?
Doing okay, bro. Doing okay. Yeah, very, very wet weekend, isn't it?
Oh, complete and utter washout. I mean, you know, one of those weekends really where you just cuddle up inside, you have a cup of tea, you're on the sofa and lots of sport on the television. We've got boxing live for Milton Keynes tonight, Sky Sports Arena. Get that on your box sets. And then we've got, you know, lots and lots of football this weekend to discuss.
Absolutely, bro. What's going on with the mic? The mic sound a bit funny, don't they?
No, they should be pretty clear. I think our listeners can hear us. They were slightly low, Charlie, but I've turned you up. So don't worry, we can hear what you're saying now.
Good stuff. Yeah, there's boxing on tonight. I'm watching it actually as we talk. I'm watching it on the Sky Go app. So Udofi just beat John Harding Jr. He stopped him in the 9th round. So you've got John Hedges now. He's an Essex lad. He's just making his debut on Matchroom. So it's up in Milton Keynes. You catch out on Sky Sports. The main event is Joshua Boazzi. He'll be on later about 9:30. So as we talk, I'm watching it on my iPhone. And it's a good show. So get that on while you're listening in to us, listeners.
Lots to discuss on tonight's show. And we will be joined by WBO European title holder and super featherweight Archie Sharp soon, hopefully, Charlie, to be a world title contender. We will be catching up with Archie in part two. He is a friend of the show and a former guest. Really looking forward to that. But as always, seconds out, part one. Charlie, news of the week. Lots of topics to discuss. Gervonta Davis, I want to start with this week, versus Leo Santa Cruz, will be the first major boxing event with fans back, and it will take place on October 31st at the Allodome in Texas. Cannot wait for this fight, Charlie. Also, Mario Barrios versus Ryan Cole and Regis Prograis versus Juan Hurdales also on that card. Tickets will be on sale on Monday and we will get Archie Sharp's thoughts on this. But first, I want Charlie Foley's thoughts.
Well, Mark, you know, Gervonta Davis, Santa Cruz, that one has been brewing for some time. Obviously, should have been made late last year. Early this year, obviously COVID took effect, and I'm just glad to see it being made. I mean, Gervonta Davis, a real talent. I'm not sure if it's a PR stunt or whatever this week, but again, he's been in the press. A $500,000 bill is due to one of his jewellers, and he's done a bunk, apparently. So I'm not sure if this is all a hype just to get his name back in the press, and then coincidentally, this fight's been announced, so it's like, could be a PR stunt or what, I don't know. But really, really looking forward to that, Mark. I mean, Santa Cruz, you know, is his best days behind him. You know, a lot was taken out of him against those Cole Frampton fights. You know, is he over the hill now? Gervonta Davis, the young buck, certainly got raw power. But, you know, it's going to be two different styles, isn't it? You know, Gervonta Davis, the come-forward fighter. Santa Cruz, fantastic back-foot fighter. It's an intriguing bout. Really, really looking forward to it.
What will be the big question for me is whether or not Leo Santa Cruz can handle the power of the Tank Davis, Gervonta Tank Davis. That will be the key to the fight. You know, Santa Cruz has the ring craft. Can he stay away from Gervonta Davis for 12 rounds? Only time will tell. But it will be a fascinating fight, really will be. So looking forward to it. And hopefully fans back in the arena. Not sure at this stage how many will be back. I'm not even sure how many tickets will be for sale. So we've got to respect social distancing. But, you know, it would just be a massive relief to see boxing fans back in the arena.
Well, interestingly, over the weekend, Borussia Dortmund in the Bundesliga, Mark, they had over 11,000 supporters back in their stadium. I know it was spaced out. So, you know, it does seem like spectators are beginning to be allowed back in stadiums. So that was 11,000, you know, that was encouraging to see. So it depends on how things play out over the next few weeks. And maybe that's why these big fights are being made, because there is an inkling, maybe there's something out there, you know, with governments and local, you know, local boxing authorities, etc., that they are going to start allowing spectators back in. That's why some of these big fights are being made. So watch this space, everyone, because it does look like spectators are creeping back in.
Happy days. Also announced this week, Devin Haney will defend his WBC lightweight title versus Ugrius Gamboa on November the 7th, with Filip Hrkovic versus Rydal Booker also on that card. Also, Daniel Jacobs, Charlie, announced this week, will face Gabriel Rosado in a super middleweight clash on November 27th. That's coming from the Simano Hard Rock in Florida. Now, first and foremost, Haney, it'll be great to see him back in action. Gamboa will be a bigger test for Devin Haney on November 7th. But Daniel Jacobs versus Gabriel Rosado, I mean, both of these guys really, you know, it's last chance saloon for these guys, I genuinely believe. Obviously, Jacobs has been in and lost to Canelo. He's been in and lost to, trying to think who else he lost to, GGG, Golovkin. And Rosado, Charlie, was out against the Polish fighter Semik recently, and he lost on a points decision, Rosado, and he was highly fancied for that fight. So Rosado has got a point to prove. There is a bit of a grudge match between these two guys. It could be a bit of a bore fest for me, though, 12-rounder.
Yeah, well, Jacobs, I mean, again, you could argue that he has seen, you know, his better days are behind him. I think he's still got a little bit to give, Mark. I do like Jacobs, if I'm honest. I like his style. You know, it will be an interesting fight. And obviously, you know, but where does the winner go? The winner will have probably one more opportunity to fight up at the world levels. And, you know, clearly they're kind of gatekeepers at that weight now. They're not necessarily, you know, world elite, but, you know, he's still a household name, Jacobs. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing him out. And like you said, there's some fantastic fights being made.
Now, this week, Frank Warren has also revealed that they are close to finalising Anthony Yard versus Lyndon Arthur, and added that Mark Heffron versus Denzel Bentley, the rematch, is a done deal. The dates they're looking at, November 14th, November 28th, or December 5th, are dates for this show this year. Daniel Dubois versus Joe Joyce, Charlie, also announced for this year. Obviously, they were holding off to see whether or not they could get fans back in the stadium. Irrespective of that, the fight's going to go ahead, and the dates they are looking at, November 28th, or December the 5th. Good that Dubois fight is done. And obviously, they're not just holding out for crowds now.
Mark, it's fantastic. It really, really is. It just shows you that fighters have had enough now of being inactive. You know, they wanted to be in front of crowds. That doesn't look like it's going to materialise in its full entirety. And these guys just want to fight. And it's so refreshing to see. And, you know, someone like Anthony Yard versus Lyndon Arthur, that's an intriguing fight, Mark. Both are highly ranked with a WBO. So is this an eliminator, you know, so to speak? Does a winner go on and face Joe Smith Jr.? You know, it opens up so many doors within that light heavyweight division. It's a fascinating division, wide open. And I think the winner will go on to fight for that WBO. So looking forward to that immensely. Dubois versus Joe Joyce. I cannot wait for that, Mark. I really can't. People are writing off Joe Joyce left, right and centre. I've always been an advocate of him. I've always, you know, from the amateurs, he's a dark horse, Mark. He really, really is. Dubois, yes, he's up and coming. He's got the youth on his side. But I don't think he's, you know, he's not been in there with anyone with real power like Joe Joyce has. Yes, he looks awkward. He looks slow. But the guy can bang. He really, really can. I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah, it should be a fascinating British heavyweight bout. And yeah, as you said, you can't really write Joe Joyce off. It's heavyweight boxing, one punch, and it changes everything. I'd like to, you know, discuss Lyndon Arthur a little bit further, because I think Anthony Yard, you know, he's not ducking any opponents. He's been in there with Kovalev. He's now taking this fight domestically. You know, Lyndon Arthur has had 17 bouts undefeated. He beat Dex Spellman in his last outing, as did Anthony Yard. Lyndon Arthur's a very, very tricky customer, Charlie. He's a big guy. You know, he's got a 70% knockout ratio. You know, Anthony Yard, big hitter. You know, he's been knocking people out for fun. So I think this will be a big test for Anthony Yard, if I'm brutally honest. You know, 6'2", Lyndon Arthur. Charlie, he's a confident individual.
He is, Mark. That's what I mean. That's why this is an intriguing bout. It really is. Not just because of the grudge between the two. You know, they both fancy themselves. They're both confident lads. Of course they are washed. They're both unbeaten. But I just think, you know, with Anthony Yard being up at that level, yes, it was only his first time there against Kovalev on the world stage. I'm hoping he would have learnt a hell of a lot from that in terms of experience. And I just think that he'll edge it. I really do. Through the championship rounds, you know, Lyndon Arthur's a very technical boxer. You know, he can look a little bit, you know, lethargic at times. He can get a little bit lazy, but he's good on his jab. But I just think if Yard gets past his jab, Yard has the raw power, Mark, to really hurt him. And like I said, in the championship rounds, I think Yard will take him, you know, round six and beyond, you know, into those championship rounds. Between round six and ten, I think he takes him. I really do.
You mentioned Anthony Yard was undefeated there. You're wrong. He's lost one fight. He's lost to Kovalev.
Of course he has. Yes.
He's had 21 bouts. Sorry, 20 bouts. He's lost one to Kovalev. He's 6 foot tall. 6 foot tall versus 6 foot two, Lyndon Arthur. I'm telling you, be a fantastic fight, that one.
Absolutely.
Really, really looking forward to it. So, yeah, keep an eye out on the dates on that one. Also announced that Love Island 2018 winner Jack Fincham, who's very good friends with Archie Sharp, funny enough, we'll be getting his thoughts on this in part two, has now officially become a professional boxer and will make his debut at light heavyweight on the undercard of the new four-man boxer tournament on November the 10th. Now, Fincham previously had 26 amateur fights and will be trained by Ben Davison. Jack was an amateur, as I touched on, and he is very, very good friends with Archie. We'll get his thoughts on that coming up in part two. Charles, Ben Davison getting involved with Jack Fincham. Wow.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, Ben Davison must have seen something in him, right? He must have. Apparently, he was a very good amateur, so he must still have a bit of that, you know, a bit of that swagger. And, you know, looking forward to seeing it. I mean, I just hope he's not, you know, what's the other guy who turned over? He fights for Hennessy, didn't he? He was in Love Island as well. Idris Virgo. I mean, I don't rate him at all. I just hope that Jack really brings it. But apparently he's taking it serious, Mark. He's put his celebrity career on hold for a year and he's really taking, because boxing, you know, you can't joke boxing. It's not a joke sport. So apparently he's put, you know, he's put his celebrity career on hold and he's really, really knuckling down. And he fancies it as a professional boxer. So, looking forward to seeing him out. Like you said, he's out on November the 10th. He's on the Ultimate Boxer. He's on the undercard. That's, I think, it's the super middleweight series. So, he's on the undercard, which will be aired on BT Sport and I believe also ITV4. So, look forward to that one, fight fans. November the 10th, not just for Jack Fincham, but you've also got Jack Celli. He's fighting in that as well. And others, and you know, I think that will be a good competition. And you've also got the Albanian guy, haven't you, Mark? Florian Marku. He's back out on November 10th. He is an absolute animal.
Yeah, he's a real, real talent, Florian Marku. So, yeah, all of that to look forward to. Charlie, hats off to you for this one. You called it. We spoke about it last week. The Golden Contract MTK Super Lightweight Tournament. You know, hats off to you. Ahira Davis went on. He beat Tyrone McKenna on Wednesday night by a majority decision to win the tournament. You know, very, very awkward fight to score, let's face it. I mean, it was ugly. It was the main event because, obviously, Jazza Dickens and Ryan Walsh was called off due to, unfortunately, Jazza Dickens picking up COVID-19. Main event, it didn't really warrant that main event, if I'm perfectly honest, and it was just a nasty, nasty fight to score. You know, not much to talk about, let's face it.
No, it didn't set the world alight, did it? It really didn't. It had all the hype. You know, the semis was actually a lot more entertaining than the final, wasn't it? But yeah, I do agree, Mark. You know, I was expecting big things Wednesday night. I really was. You know, all the hype, you know, and all the, you know, all the show business, what was going on, you know, in the weeks, months up to it. You know, both guys hated each other. Both guys were shoving each other on YouTube. You know, they really wanted it. They, you know, they couldn't stand each other. You know, all the hype, bit like a wrestling match. And then it was like, you know, the fight just, it didn't materialise at all. It did not take off. But I do believe that, you know, with Will Jones and Kevin Mitchell in O'Hara's corner, their game plan, you know, worked a treat. You know, he was very patient. He didn't get, you know, he didn't get drawn into it. And I think he boxed very well, Mark. And, you know, he was a stronger fighter. And you could tell he hurt him at times, McKenna, because McKenna's face was, certainly his eye was badly bruised. So, you know, I think O'Hara certainly deserved to nick it. He now goes on, doesn't he? Gets a top-ranked contract. And I hope, you know, he takes it serious now. And I hope, you know, eventually that the aim of the game is to win titles and earn a few quid. And I hope he can go on to do that. Whether he's capable, I'm not sure. You know, whenever he's been up there at the top, he's caught in the past, you know, against people like Josh Taylor, he's not quite cut it. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes under Top Rank and where he goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Five-fight deal. Yeah, so hopefully he can get back to that world level. We discussed that last week. But he is the MTK Golden Contract Super Lightweight Tournament Champion. So, yeah, congratulations to O'Hara Davis. The launch of DAZN UK is reportedly set to happen in the next couple of months. It's claimed that, obviously, that Daniel Jacobs versus Gabriel Rosado fight will be broadcast by DAZN in the UK. DAZN initially wanted John Ryder as a UK opponent for Jacobs. Now, Jacobs versus Rosado, as we touched on, is a little bit of a grudge match. It's one of those that really could be a 12-rounder. It was, you know, it's there and it could be aired by DAZN UK. Also, Charlie, we're hearing that Josh Kelly has decided today and declared that he will fight David Ashavin next. He's held talks with Adam Booth and Eddie Hearn today, and they've decided to move forward with the European welterweight title bout. Now, Hearn obviously has picked up COVID-19, tested positive this week, so he's not at the Sky Sports event in Milton Keynes tonight, but he has said that he hopes to stage this fight before the end of the year.
That's a long overdue, that one. It was due out in April, wasn't it, Mark? And Ellie Scottney, a previous guest of ours, was due on that bill. I think she's out in the next couple of weeks. I think, personally, that is a very tricky fight. Ashavin is underrated, Mark. He's overlooked. Everyone's talking about Josh Kelly. They want to be careful with this fight because Ashavin is a tough, tough customer. And hopefully it will be made by the end of the year. And I hope Josh Kelly brings his A-game. I really do, because he's a real talent. He was a talent in the amateurs. He certainly hasn't, you know, he hasn't impressed me as a pro. He's been drawn into some real, real scraps as a pro. And I hope under Booth, you know, he's upped his game, because this is going to be a real, real, you know, a real, real dogfight, this one.
It really, really could be. And it's one of those bouts that, you know, you just can't call. You really can't call, because Josh Kelly really hasn't been tested. Josh Kelly hasn't been tested yet. And this could be the one fighter that really does ask those questions. I think it's a bit of a time for a song now. Charlie, latest from Milton Keynes. John Hedges in action.
John Hedges making his pro debut. On a 4-rounder. Yeah, we're heading into the 4th round. I mean, I've got him comfortably on the cards. Hasn't really done anything wrong. Super middleweight, you know, he's about 6'4". This, as a super middleweight, it just looks so weird that, you know, he's that tall. But, I mean, he hasn't done anything wrong. He certainly hasn't really, you know, set the world alight either. But it's his pro debut, and I think he's comfortably winning this on points. So we're in round 4, and I can't see him losing this. You know, he's just put the guy down, actually. Whether or not it was a legitimate punch, it doesn't look like it. The refs said continue. But he's you know, he's comfortably winning this now, and he's a slick southpaw. But he does look a bit awkward because of the height at super middleweight. So I guess, he's only 18 years of age. So, you know, as he grows into the pro career, I can imagine he's going to go up in weight. But yeah, he's comfortably winning this one, Mark. But you know, an okay debut.
Yeah, you can catch that on Sky Sports Arena live right now. Have that on, and you can listen to On the Ropes live here at Phoenix 98FM. It is time for a bit of a break. We're going to leave you with a song by Kayo and Whitney Houston, High Love. And in part two, we'll be joined by Archie Sharp. Enjoy this one. Catch you in part two.
Stars above. Without it, life is a wasted time. Look inside your heart and I look inside mine. Things look so bad everywhere. In this whole world, what is fair? We walk the line and try to see. Bring me a higher love, oh.
Seconds out, part two. Welcome back to part two of the show, guys. As I said, we are joined on the line tonight by Archie Sharp. Now, Archie is a WBO European Super Featherweight Champion, soon, hopefully, to be a world title challenger. Archie, how are you, my friend? And thank you for joining us tonight.
Sorry, guys, technical issue there. I'm not sure what's happened. We're just trying to get Archie back on the phone. We were just having a chat with Archie there, actually, about the John Hedges bout. And Archie thought that Hedges was losing it. And the results just come through. John Hedges won it by two rounds. So we'll get Archie on the phone and we'll find out, you know, his thoughts on that fight. It was, you know, like I said earlier, it wasn't the best debut, but the Essex man got it. Certainly because I think he's a match for him and the other guy was a bit of a journeyman. So he's got the result. And, yeah, there's some opinion out there that he didn't necessarily deserve the win, but it looks like he's got it. So controversy already on the Matchroom bill. So if you haven't already tuned in, guys, get it on Sky Sports now. You'll be able to watch live boxing and listen in to On The Ropes with Phoenix 98FM. And I must remind you all, guys, if you haven't already, do follow us on Twitter, On The Ropes FM1. Do follow us on Instagram, On The Ropes FM. Do get us on Facebook, On The Ropes. So you can also get us on the website, www.phoenixfm.com. You can listen back to all our previous shows. Go on to the tab, On The Ropes, and get all the shows. Now we're just joined back on the line by Archie.
How you doing, mate?
Hello, Archie. I'm all good, my friend. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Mate, thanks for joining us. It's fantastic to speak to you again.
Yeah, it's good to be back on, mate. It's been a little while.
It has indeed. But how's things? Are the family doing well over, you know, over lockdown, etc.? Family all healthy and well?
Yeah, all very well, thank you. Yours?
Yeah, mate, we're doing okay. We're doing okay. Surviving, that's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
Absolutely. So I just said there, now, we were just having a little chat about John Hedges, and you said you didn't think he was winning. What was all that about?
I just said, do you know what? I thought he just got caught a little bit too much for me. I've had the same scorecard as Matthew Macklin, to be honest with you. 39-37, so. But look, he's got the win, the referee give it to him, so, which is good for him. I think the main key for him now is just going to be matchmaking, do you know what I mean? He's only 18, he's very young. But it just goes to show, you see, these journeymen, and when you're fighting men, it's hard work. No matter what record they've got, they can punch and cause problems.
Yeah, absolutely, Archie, and obviously we're watching that live tonight whilst discussing it with you, and it's always good to get your input. Like Charlie said, you're a former guest of the show, and it's great to have you here tonight. You know, we wanted to catch up with you, touch base really, Charlie. Archie, you know, we were joined with you previously, straight down to business. It's been a pretty surreal year for boxing, to be honest. From a personal perspective, will you be glad to see the back of it with this whole COVID thing? And are you hoping to be back out this year?
Yeah, for sure. Everything's just up in the air, to be honest with you. Obviously, our boxing up August with no crowd. And yeah, it's very unusual. But I think that's just the new way of it at the minute. It's going to be like that for a very long time, I think. I can't see it change anytime soon, to be honest with you.
And I mean, you know, 2020, it's been, for you personally, Archie, it's been very indifferent. You know, you've had one contest this year. You come in at lightweight back in August versus Jeff Afori. There was a lot of controversy, a lot of criticism from some pundits, you know, Andy Lee notably saying that, you know, it reeked of unprofessionalism. I mean, does he realise how difficult it is for a boxer during this pandemic to get motivated? I mean, you know, what was it like leading up to that fight, and you know, why was it difficult to make the super featherweight?
So this is the thing, it's easy to for people to sit back and watch telly and just see the weight. It's very political, people don't realise that I've made the weight very easy, actually. I made the weight very easy. I had to drink in the morning just to be under lightweight. So it's very... something happened, basically. I won't go into too much detail because it's now been dealt with. MTK and Frank have dealt with the situation for me, but I was very misguided when it comes to check weights, and something happened, and look, it maybe could have been avoided. Maybe a bit of inexperience between me and Richard, my trainer Richard Sawyer. That was all that was, really. But the people who was, there was a lot more politics to it than me just failing weight, because look, I've never failed weight. So that's the reason why I ended up boxing at lightweight, because I had to. I was told by the boxing board I couldn't come any lighter because of the check weight. So we've got past that now. Me and Richard, he would have learnt from that. I learnt myself. But obviously now I'm under new management with Alan Smith, so them mistakes and that misguidance won't happen again, because look, Alan's a very experienced trainer who's been in the game for a very long time, and he knows the deal.
Now, you managed to come through that fight with Jeff Afori in, obviously, Charlie touched on, which was quite a difficult night for you. You said yourself in commentary it was an off night and you came through it on a 50% performance. I mean, what do you think went wrong on the night? You touched on the weight. Did you put too much pressure on yourself? Because you were talking about, you know, stopping Jeff and really putting on a good show. I mean, what would you say actually played its part in a subpar performance for Archie Sharp?
I think it boils down to inexperience. Basically, obviously, with everything that's gone on with COVID, hasn't helped either. 1 minute was fighting this day. It was all up and down, up and down. The camp itself went very well. I was in Tenerife sparring with the Walsh brothers, having unbelievable spars out there, great training, fitness was unbelievable. I come back and ended up boxing 4 weeks later. So when we look back and have a look at it and analyse everything, I think I left everything in the gym. I left everything out of the ring, in the gym. I left it all there and I couldn't bring it to the gym because, like I say, in camp, unbelievably fit, cruising the rounds, cruising everything, but on fight night, after four rounds, I really felt like I hit a wall. I really couldn't get my breathing going. I felt unfit, but that's not because of anything. No corners have been cut, because if anything, I trained harder than any fight I've ever been into. I just think basically between me and Richard, the timing just wasn't great, and unfortunately, it showed. Do you know what I mean? It showed. So there was no cheating in the ring, in the gym. Because, like, listen, I'm a very fit fighter. I train all year round. I make sure I'm in shape. But sometimes there is a thing called overtraining, and I do believe that's what happened. That's a great example.
And, Archie, do you think, because you're cool, I mean, we've been in there, I've fought in there, Mark hasn't fought in there, and it's very muggy in terms of temperature, and it's August, it's a warm August night. you know, did that have an impact? And obviously no crowd as well. Do you know what I mean? It must be very difficult to pick yourself up for that. A, no crowd, and then B, the humidity in there as well.
Very, very difficult. And do you know what? I know Jeff Ifor is a very fit kid as well. So that's hence the reason why I made sure I trained like a lunatic. But I said that if you see and watch the fight back and when we went after the fight and we go to corners, my words were to Jeff, please tell me you felt that in there. Because honestly, the heat was unbelievable. It was very hot. The humidity must have been very high. And like you say, very muggy. So, but yeah, this is very unusual circumstances that we're going through at the minute. And being out of the ring for 8 months, I think, showed that as well. So yeah, it wasn't great. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't great. I look forward to being back out before Christmas and putting things right.
And shortly after that fight, you touched on it there briefly, Archie, that you decided to switch to Al Smith and Eddie Lamb down at the Ibox gym. I mean, it sounds like the catalyst for this was obviously due to the weight issues and everything else. But, you know, how's it all going down at the Ibox? Is a good stable of fighters down there? Is it fresh? Is it refreshing? And like you touched on there, it sounds like you hope to be back out before the end of the year.
Yeah, so obviously I've known Alan for a very long time and Eddie. Me and Richard both agreed to go, that I leave Richard and go to Al. Been with Richard since I was 7 years old. It's time for a new start. I mean, 18, 20 years together training, you do come stale. You get to a level where you just stay, and Richard has got me to a very good level, number four in the WBO world ranking. Unbeaten, I'm only 25, 19-0. I'm in a very good position. But we've just got to a stale place, and that's all that is. His experience as a pro trainer has only been my experience as a professional. So we turned pro together back 4 or 5 years ago. So to come to world level, when we're going to against up elite level and world level fighters like Frampton's, and they've got the experience in their corners, they've got the experience themselves. So I need someone who's got the experience, the new life, the new buzz, the new kick, and that's what Al's brought to me. To be honest with you, I'm flying. Al's very impressed, and he generally does believe I can go on a win a world title very, very soon. And comes that's a great compliment coming from a man who's been, like I say, experienced, been around Jimmy Tibbs, been around the best, and he generally does believe in the next couple of fights we'll be fighting for a world title.
I mean, so you're ranked now by the WBO, you're fourth on the world stage by their rankings. You touched upon Cole Frampton there. I mean, coincidentally, you were on the same bill as him in August, in the same hotel. I mean, was it a hostile environment being around him, or was it a case of you studying the guy who's been there, you know, done it, two-weight world champion? You know, I mean, it's a fight that you would like, but, you know, being in around that kind of caliber of fighter, I mean, what's it like, you know, just being in their presence?
Yeah, so like, I know Carl anyway. I know Carl on a personal basis. I was sparring with Carl back when I was 17, 18 year old, when he was at his peak fighting for world titles. And Carl knows there's no disrespect there. That's a fight that I believe I can win. Alan Smith believes I can win. Richard Sawyer believes I can win. Even for, do you know what I mean? There's a lot of people know I can go out and beat Carl Frampton. And that's not just that's no disrespect to him. It's just that I'm naturally a big super featherweight, and I don't think he is. And yeah, like you say, he was there at the hotel. And like he says, he knows his business. He was in the same position I was back then. So it's just how it goes at the end of the day. He's got what I want. He'll be getting the fight next with Jamel Herron for the WBO world title. And then if he goes on and wins that, then that'll be the fight. If not, Jamel is now signed with MTK. I've spoken to our management team, which is obviously MTK themselves. And that, like I said, the WBO world title is now in-house. So if Frampton does lose to Jamel, then there'll be me stepping up to fight Jamel Herron next. If not, I'll fight Frampton for the winner.
Superb. So it sounds like, you know, the world title fight is on the horizon. It's just around the corner. I mean, as we're drawing closer to the end of 2020, just two things I want to pick your brains on, really, just moving aside now. Firstly, good friend of yours, Jack Fincham, will be turning professional in November. You know Jack from your childhood days, and he was an amateur fighter in the same gym as you. I mean, obviously, Jack must be super pumped and a new profession for him.
Yeah, so obviously, Jack's in the same sort of position with myself, with Richard as well. Obviously, we've all been together from day one. And I think Jack just kind of got stale, hence the reason why he's gone over to Ben Davison. So he's training under Ben Davison now. And yeah, I believe Jack will go on and do well. I've spoken to him today as it goes. I speak to Jack most days, and he's been sparring, very good pros. So yeah, he's buzzing. He's looking forward to getting out and putting on the show.
And any ideas on what weight he's coming in at? Because there was talk about Idris Virgo, isn't it? But I think he might be too heavy. He was a Love Island.
You know what? Jack
well.
Has dropped some weight actually, and to be honest with you, he did text me and tell me what he's doing. But off the top of my head, I can't actually remember now. But I know he was coming. He's coming down away from what he originally was going to turn pro at. So, and that Idris Virgo, he's just a fool. I don't even know why he keeps mentioning people's names for, because he is useless. And so yeah, I don't know why he's even piped up again, because he piped up with John. Doherty, and I just think, I don't know why he bothered.
Yeah, he's piped up with Liam Williams as well, and Williams has said, look, I'll drive to your gym and just teach you a lesson. It doesn't need to be on the on television.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fool. Yeah, he's just, like I said, a hyped up fool. Jack would drop him in two rounds anyway, so I don't know why he keeps talking.
Yeah, I think Jack's coming in at super middleweight, I was reading today, so you are right, he has dropped down. I think he was looking at light heavy, so...
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think so he's coming down. He's in very good shape. Ben Davison has got him in very good shape, so I'm looking forward to seeing the progress.
But is he taking it serious? So it seems like he's put his career on hold, Archie, and this is, you know, he's committed to the cause, right? He wants to really give it a good crack.
Well, this is the thing, he needs to do that, because at the end of the day, when, like I say, when he's over there with me and Richard and that, and... It's easily led, because Richard, they're more than trainer and fighter. It's more family, and Jack can get away with certain things with Richard. But over there with Ben Davison, obviously surrounded by Josh Taylor, he's got good stable over there, and he knows he can't mess around, because if he mess around, he's going to come short. So, yeah, I think he has took it serious, and that's why I'm very intrigued to see the progress that he's made.
Yeah, I think we all are. I mean, that's going to be available, isn't it? November 10th on the Ultimate Boxer series. That'll be on BT, and I think a bit of ITV4 as well. So I'm not sure if ITV are showing Jack's fight, but, you know, all our listeners, you know, all boxing fans, you know, do tune in, because I'm intrigued to see how it goes as well, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sure they will show Jack. I think ITV are looking forward to getting him out there, and they've done a lot with him. So, yeah, I'm sure they will show Jack.
And Archie, how do you see the Daniel Dubois versus Joe Joyce fight going? It looks like we are close now to, well, they are going to get it on before the end of the year, either with a crowd or without one. How do you see that one going? Because a lot of people are writing Joe Joyce off, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So I'm hoping to be on that show. I know I was going to be on that show when it was supposed to be in October and with the crowd, but obviously it's not now, so... Yeah, I should be on that show myself, and I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I do believe Daniel Dubois does knock Joe Joyce out. Joe Joyce is a very tough operator, but I just do believe, you see, the resistance can go, and I think from what I've been told with Daniel Dubois' punching power, I think the resistance will go with Joe Joyce. I know he's very strong and he's got a good chin, but resistance does go, and I do believe that's what will be the factor in that fight. I think he'll walk on too many big right hands, and I think Daniel Dubois does stop him.
Yeah, because that was going to be my question after that. You know, you looking to get on that bill, but you've just confirmed that. I mean, are you looking to, you know, contest for the title again, obviously, or you know, is it just going to be another, you know, dust the cobwebs down and looking into 2021, or is this going to be a meaningful fight?
Well, the thing is, it'd be interesting. It's got to be to Frank, and obviously Al, my trainer, he's going to, and MTK will talk, because I think it's fair to say when I won the WBO, it's been title fight back to back, and even Jeff O'Fory was a very tough domestic fight, which obviously was supposed to be for the WBO belt itself. So I don't know. I've got to speak to WBO as well, see what they want from me. I do believe that they're going to want to see me defend it. So if that is the case, then obviously it's going to be a defence. If not, we'll probably look at another belt somewhere. But yeah, either way, it'll be a title fight. That's what I'd like anyway, to get out there. Because like I say, but after Christmas, I'm going to be pushing on for a world title shot. So yeah, I'll leave it to the trainer, Frank and MTK, and we shall see what they come up with.
And what can we expect to see, you know, from Archie Sharp, obviously with the iBox? Anything you're working on differently? You know, what can the fans expect to see?
Yeah, so the thing is, I've seen the difference already in the short period of time. I was there within a week, even Al and the team and everyone around me have seen the difference. I was like, I look forward to putting it in the ring and showing everyone that the old Sharp is back and all the elusive shots and power will be back out. And it'll be a very good performance. So I'm just looking forward to, I'm just going to stay a little bit more silent this time and I'm going to show everyone what's to come.
Well, listen, Archie, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure. Really do appreciate you, giving up your time this Sunday evening to join us here at On The Ropes, Phoenix 90 AFM. We wish you all the best for the rest of 2021, and we hope those dreams do come true next year, that you get that opportunity to challenge for the world title. From myself and Charlie here and everyone at Phoenix 90 AFM, thank you very, very much tonight.
No, God bless. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate that.
No worries. Take care, Archie. Speak to you soon.
God bless. Take care.
Ta-da, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Charles, lovely fella. Archie Sharp, former guest, back here live on Phoenix 98 FM. I just hope he gets that title shot. He's building. 19-0, deserves his chance.
Mark, fantastic. And I don't know what it is, but I think he's matured. Even when even there just talking to him, he's really matured. You know, before he was a bit brash in terms of, what he gave away, in terms of, his game plan. You can see there he's not giving anything away. He's realised that for whatever reason he needed a change. That's a very mature thing to decide. Some could argue he's taken a risk. But clearly, he knows his own plans. He knows where he wants to get to. And he had to make that change and he's done it. And, fair play to him. And I really do wish him all the best. But yeah, and he speaks very well. I highly rate Archie, I really do.
Likewise, I mean, he's 25. He had that off night against Jeff Ofori. Circumstances completely different. We're in a pandemic. There's no fans. There's, as he mentioned, the lighting, the humidity that night. Yes, it was a subpar performance. I wouldn't say it was unprofessional, so to speak. Some pundits did say that. I just think he had one of those nights where a lot of things weren't going right for him. Jeff Ofori had trained particularly hard for that fight, as did Archie. And it was Charlie. It was just an off night. I mean, we're all human beings. We can all have off days, off nights, and it was just one of those for Archie.
Yeah, exactly, Mark. But you look at Cole Frampton. He was on the same bill, and he faced an unknown in Darren Trainor, didn't he, from Scotland? You wouldn't have said he set the world alight either. He had an off night that night. It happens, right? And who had the more pressure on him, Archie Sharp or Cole Frampton? That night, I think Cole Frampton had more pressure on him. Because Archie certainly was in with a tough competitor. Jeff Ofori, he's no fool. He'd done very well in the MTK Golden Contracts. He's trained, rigorously all year round, like Archie trained. These guys never have a day off. So definitely, between those two bouts, Archie definitely had the harder bout on paper. Cole Frampton had an off night as well, Mark. And no one even questioned that. No one said a word. But obviously, Archie gets all the stick because he's coming overweight, unprofessionalism and all this, which, a lot of people like that from pundits, but, it's controversy, right? And it hits the papers, it hits social media. So, there's no negative press. It's all love, baby. It's all love.
Absolutely. Now, we've got the Milton Keynes bout, show up for Matchroom. Fiaz versus Baker is on now. It's round three. John Hedges did get that decision, as Archie touched on there, which was a little bit unjust by the sounds of it. He got the 39-37 on the judges' scorecards for the 18-year-old debutant. But it is round three of Kane Baker versus Aqib Fiaz currently.
Round four, actually. I'm watching it now, yeah. We've got one minute 30 left. And this is a real grudge match as well, because this, if you recall, this was on one of the fight camp weekend, wasn't it? And it was called off because the opponent was unwell. So this is that's not a bad little scrap, actually. I'm just a bit, they're holding, both guys are holding a lot, but, it's certainly a wider, and Mark, a lot of these fights now, real 50-50s. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's what we want to see, live Sunday night boxing. Amazing to have, Sunday night boxing, fantastic. Obviously, we've got Babich versus Kennedy to look forward to on that bill. You've also got the previous guest of the recent guest of the show, Chantel Cameron, fighting for a world title tonight. Against Santos Aquero. Now, Charlie, she came in overweight.
Oh, no.
So if she wins that, the Brazilian, she won't be fighting for a world title.
5 pounds overweight.
5 pounds overweight. There's a lot going on at the moment. She travelled from Brazil. You don't know if it was an issue with the timing of the flights. You don't know if it's an issue with training camp, the pandemic, everything. There's so many things you can put into,
in the equation here. So, and obviously main event, Joshua Buatsi back in action against Marco Kallik. Hopefully we'll be back home in time for that one live, Charlie, on Sky Sports.
9:30, I think that is, doesn't it? Or they're talking about around about 9:30. So, yeah, we should be done and dusted back indoors. Couple of lagers. Bosh.
Bish, bash, bosh.
You caught me by surprise there. It's quote of the week, guys. Make sure that your actions and behaviours live up to and reflect the words and ideas, promises and commitments that come out of your mouth.
Beautiful stuff as always, Charlie. That really gets me up on a Sunday night. Some of these quotes, it really does. With the, you know, that inspirational quotes. Inspirational quotes really gets me going. Really does for the week ahead.
Gets you up for a Sunday night. I can't get that out of my head now.
As does live boxing on Sky Sports. A few fights to talk about next week as well, Charlie. Had a look at the schedule for next weekend?
No, I haven't. Have you?
That's one job I asked you to do. The one and only job apart from your quote of the week.
A Chris Kamara there. What?
Did you see that, Jeff? No. So, yeah, a few fights to look forward to next weekend. I'm just trying to get my calendar up on my phone as we speak. As always, boxing is back most weekends now. There will be bouts to look forward to. We do get Lomachenko versus Lopez, Charlie. How could you forget that one? Saturday the 17th of October for the WBA Super Lightweight Championship. There's also some light heavyweight bouts also in action coming from the US next week as well. We've got Conwell versus Toussaint. That will be coming to you on Wednesday night, actually, from the US. I look forward to that. If you're up 4 a.m. Thursday morning to look forward to, then the 10th of October, Lipnitz versus Abringhunghoff. Try and pronounce that. And also Nathan Gallman versus Larty is back in action next Saturday, the 10th
Liam
of
Williams.
October.
Liam Williams is back.
Liam
as
Williams,
well.
Headlining, yes. How could you forget that, Charlie?
You passed the test.
So, yeah, lots of boxing to look forward to on BT Sport next Saturday night. And as I said, Lomachenko versus Lopez comes to us on October the 17th.
Good stuff. Looking forward to Loma versus Lopez. I think that is going to be a real, real scrap. That has the potential to be fight of the year. It really does. I know I say it every time there's a big matchup, but for me, that fight there, cannot wait for that. Cannot wait.
So obviously Liam Williams back in action next weekend, Charlie. You know, he's been knocking on the door now. Actually, we can touch a little bit on Liam Williams because I think he is probably due a world title shot very, very soon. He's been chasing that fight. I think he is probably due one. He's got to get past next week's opponent. If he does, then I think he could be very, very close to a world title fight.
Yeah, I think so, Mark. I mean, you know, he's Andrew Robinson's he's fighting, isn't he? I mean, don't know much about the guy, to be fair. You know, his last bout, Liam Williams, Atlantix Fox. I mean, he done very, very well. He definitely deserves another crack at world levels. You know, Andrade, he's been calling out Andrade. I think hopefully he will get that, you know, he'll get that shot at Andrade. And I think he will challenge him and he will trouble him. But, you know, he's a very, very good boxer, but for whatever reason, he's just not quite getting, you know, those opportunities to get the big night or the big fight or the big ticket, whatever you want to call it. But all he can do is keep winning, Mark. And he does do it, and he does it very, very, you know, impressively. He really, really, you know, when he comes to fight, he really shows up. And, you know, he was a bit of a surprise package, wasn't he, when he beat Heffron for the British title. And he's kind of elevated himself from then on in. He's really taken it serious. And every time I see him, he gets better and better. So, you know, I can't see any troubles against Andrew Robinson. I think there's only one winner there. Like I said, I don't know much about the other guy. But what I have seen with Liam Williams, you know, whoever you put in front of him, he really, really, you know, he turns up and he takes you into the trenches. So I can't see any different on Saturday night.
Now, Andrew Robinson will be the fourth British title defence for Liam Williams. He's got one defeat on his resume to Liam Smith, Charlie. He's ranked number 3 now in the UK behind Liam Smith and Chris Eubank Jr. He's ranked number 10 in the world. I mean, like I said, he's been chasing that Andrade fight.
Yeah.
That's the fight that he really, really wants, and he's pretty adamant that he can beat him. He's not been given that opportunity. You know, like top 10 in the world, he's, you know, he's being patient, and he has improved. He's got real punch power now, real punch power. And he's a threat to the division.
Yeah, but if he doesn't get the Andrade fight, Mark, where does he go? Where does he go? You know, you're talking about Billy Joe Saunders is talking about being out at the end of the year. And I think it on social media, it was like, who should he fight? I think it was like Matthew Murray, John Ryder. Can't think who else it was. I was like, really? I mean, John Ryder would be a good fight for Billy Joe Saunders. Or would John Ryder be a good fight for Liam Williams? Do you know what I mean? If he can't get the Andrade fight, then Williams is going to have to start stepping up against people like, you know, Joe Ryder, or start calling out Billy Joe, or start calling out Chris Eubanks Jr. I know he has called him out on social media, but he's just getting blanked. But, you know, that's the only way Williams is going to get through people in terms of getting the opportunity to get the big fights. But he's going to have to literally fight some of the best names in Britain before he actually gets the credit that he looks like he deserves.
Yeah, but there's, I mean, who's left out there for him to fight? What, Liam Smith Jr. again? You know, Chris Eubank Jr., are these guys going to entertain Liam Williams? Is too much of a threat?
Or does he take a punt against Callum Smith, Mark?
But I think that means he's got to step up.
That's what I mean. I think Callum Smith would be too strong for him. But that's what I'm saying, because he's not getting the Andrade gig for whatever reason. I don't know. So he's going to have to start taking risks. He really is. I know, and he's cool. You know, he looks like he'll fight anyone. So he's really literally going to have to start taking some risks.
Yeah, the fourth defence of that British title. I hope that he gets at least a world title shot in 2021, because I think he thoroughly deserves one, really do. And I don't think Andrew Robinson will cause him any issues at all. I think he'll get him out of there. Sky Sports, Charlie, what's going on now? Anything to discuss? Some of our listeners who may not be watching the bouts on Sky Sports.
Still going on, Mark. We're into round six now of eight. Again, a real, Mark, this is a real slug, this. I mean, both guys are putting it all on the line. So this is going to be very close, to this result. I think it's going to go to the cards. Round six out of eight. Both men look like they're not gassing at all. Kane Baker doing very, very well on the front foot, Mark. Good jabbing. Good movement. Looks fit. Fit as you like. He's not fading. So this one's going to go to the wire. And I'm not sure he's going to nick it on points. I'm really not. It's very, very close.
Obviously, Eddie Hearn not there tonight, Charlie. Got, you know, tested positive for COVID, as did Barry Hearn yesterday. You know, the Hearns, you know, we wish them well. You know, they reside here in Brentwood, Essex, not too far from the studio. You know, just hope. It looks like Eddie hasn't got too many symptoms, but I hope Barry, you know, I hope he's well.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a rough ride, hasn't he, Barry, recently? So we, you know, all our thoughts and prayers are with the Hearn family, and hopefully, you know, like you said, Eddie, he was posting videos over the last couple of days in terms of the Boazzi fight and stuff like that. He was just, you know, sending his regards to the public, and obviously apologised he couldn't be there. But, you know, he's young enough. Hopefully he looks like he can easily recover. But, you know, his father's, you know, getting on a bit in terms of years. So, you know, with the year he's had and the ill health, you know, you really do hope that he's going to be okay.
Absolutely. We wish them both the very, very best, and get well wishes very, very soon. Boazzi, Charlie, for tonight against Marko Kalic. Any prediction on that fight? I'm going to go for probably an early stoppage for Boazzi. I think he gets him out of there within five rounds, personally. And Cameron, I think Cameron gets her opponent out within four rounds. That's my view. And your view?
I think Cameron, I agree. I think Cameron's going to go for it early. But then again, she might go late, Mark, because the other lady's overweight. So as the fight goes on, fatigue kicks in. You know, the extra pounds might tire her out. So you don't know what the game plan is under Jamie Moore. But, you know, Cameron, she's very tough. She likes to, you know, come forward. So, yeah, it's going to be a very, very intriguing fight. Boazzi, I personally think it's going to go into late rounds, because he needs rounds, Mark. He's been very, very inactive, hasn't he? So he needs rounds under his belt. And I don't think he's going to go all guns out blazing right at the beginning of the fight. He's going to grow into it. And I think he'll take it between rounds 7 and 10.
He does look relieved to be back, I must admit. He looks happy to be back. He looks in great shape, as does Cameron. So, yeah, hopefully they can get the business done tonight. That should be live on Sky Sports within the next 35 minutes. So looking forward to getting home and seeing both those bouts. Obviously, Chantel Cameron and Joshua Buatsi both in action tonight, live on Sky Sports Arena and Sky Sports HD. Right, guys, that's going to be the end of our show this week. We're going to leave you with a little bit of a song, really, for Anthony Yard. That Lyndon Arthur fight has been announced. Phil Collins in the air tonight. As always, guys, have a knockout week and...
remember, you're always in with a puncher's chance. Have a knockout week, guys. Love you long time.
Show, but the pain's too gross. So-